The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Anger. They can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as the person it represents. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, "They Are Not Afraid." Entrepreneurs such as Brooke Maravicius are doubling down on pushing their startups forward during the pandemic. And the story begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with a second headline, "Rolling the Dice with Startups." Despite the pandemic, many entrepreneurs decided to start their own businesses, and some found funding and success despite turbulent economic times. This article is written by Lauren Onasorge. Amid the uncertainty of an election, a recession, and a global pandemic, dozens of entrepreneurs made a dangerous gamble in 2020 to bet it all on a startup. Even in the best of times, it's a risky bet. A recent report from Startup Genome shows that prior to the pandemic, startup failure rates hovered around 90%. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 2 out of 10 new businesses fail in just their first year. Add in the uncertainty brought about by rising COVID-19 cases and repeated lockdowns, and the risk-averse might put their life savings elsewhere. But not Adam Smith, co-founder of Wrangle. Smith, the former chief operating officer of Automated Insights, had tasted success before. Automated Insights, whose artificial intelligence technology powers fantasy sports updates from Yahoo and earnings summaries for the Associated Press, saw a buyout by Vista Equity Partners in 2015 for $80 million. Inspired by the taste of that exit, Smith took the plunge in 2020, doubling down on the bet as COVID cases numbers rose. And he actually saw traction, in part because of the work-from-home trend inspired by the pandemic. And he's not alone. Some startups and the investors backing their plays are hopeful the virus can actually act as a tailwind. "Definitely, we're counseling them to take this seriously," Dave Kirkpatrick, managing partner of Durham's SJF Ventures, says of his portfolio companies. "But we're also asking them to potentially play offense, too. If we have capital and we have weaker competitors out there, are there ways we can position as we come out of this to be stronger companies?" Kirkpatrick's firm feels so strongly that the startup scene will emerge stronger that SJF, at the end of 2020, had raised $90 million of a $150 million fund to invest in innovators. And he's not alone in his take. Andy Schwab, a partner with Accelerate Health Venture, says his firm is raising a $35 million round because it, too, is bullish on the region. The focus area, digital health, has seen opportunities increase since the pandemic. "There are more clinical trials going on right now, and for an area like the Triangle, it's been amazing," he says. Some say the virtual nature of pitches in the pandemic will make it easier for investors outside of North Carolina to access talent. Instead of hopping on a plane, they'd log into a Zoom call. And work from home has actually normalized virtual meetings, and meaning that where Sand Hill Road investors may have required startups to move to Silicon Valley before for easier oversight, now they can have the same level of impact through a computer. Alex Estevez, a venture partner with Bay Area-based Excel Partners, says Zoom has made it easier now to connect and build relationships virtually. "Investors and entrepreneurs are more comfortable with that exercise," he says. "I actually think the phenomenon of distributed teams and distributed investment will continue," he says. In the Triangle, local firms such as Bull City Venture Partners are teaming up with groups such as Excel to give them boots on the ground post-pandemic. The data back up investor optimism. "There's this 300% growth that happened in June," says Mark Flickingberger, COO of BIP Capital. I think, frankly, that's one of the bigger surprises, how quickly the funding year over year came back. It's almost as if everyone was on the sidelines, then realized, hey, we still have to put this money to work. BIP Capital released a report last year showing investment momentum in the Southeast returned in June and after declining in March, April, and May. You have a finite amount of time to deploy that money, he explains. Your LPs and your investors expect you to find the best deals you can. You don't get to take a timeout because of the pandemic. PricewaterhouseCoopers found the third quarter numbers were the second largest even in terms of dollars invested. Pitchfork released 2020 top-line figures that imply continued strength moving into 2021. $156.2 billion invested, $290.1 billion exited, and $73.6 billion raised by VC funds. 2021 will depend a lot on what happens with the vaccine, Flickinger says. Local innovators, however, are doubling down. At Wrangell, Smith says his team of two is all in, no going back now. Here's a look at how five innovators are betting big on 2021. Forming support for moms. The ideal for Allobee was born of necessity. Founder Brooke Markovicius says a mom creating a platform for other moms looking for freelance projects. She got the idea while breast pumping in a bathroom while working at Postmates. It was really not a good environment for a new mom, so I quit, she says. Markovicius knew it wasn't a problem that was exclusive to her. New moms having to juggle kids and career. So she built Allobee to bridge that gap, and when the pandemic struck, more moms were leaving 9-to-5 jobs, finding themselves needed as caregivers and virtual school teachers. Allobee took advantage of that trend, giving moms a way to make money while caring for their kids. And investors joined Markovicius in that bet. Allobee leveraged its success to close a $500,000 seed round this month, and Markovicius credits the environment created by the pandemic. We were able to get the investors we did and close out the round because it truly has been a time when people needed sustainable and simple, someone taking away all that decision fatigue for them, she says. Allobee, which launched last May, kicked off its membership technically in November. It started paid advertising late last year, and now the real challenge begins. It's how do we continue to scale that, she says. How do we keep going at that rate, hiring more people and bringing on more staff to work with us? The firm recently hired its first lead engineer, someone Markovicius hasn't even met in person, despite the importance of the role, and that too is because of the pandemic. Hiring has been challenging, so much so that she has been cold messaging doctoral students on LinkedIn. For a startup, each hire is significant, so how do you take a chance on someone through a Zoom conversation? It's doable. You just have to make sure you're really sharing your vision and mission for your company, Markovicius says. She says the pandemic has in many ways been helpful to her trek as an entrepreneur. With two young kids, she had expected she'd have to travel to close the funding round, for example. But due to COVID, I was able to pitch everything virtually on Zoom, Markovicius says, noting that while the fundraising process took longer, it was more comfortable gearing up for that than the high-pressure conversation in her own home. Betting on automation. Raleigh-based process automation firm Wrangell is the brainchild of a pair of Adams, Adam Smith and Adam Long, former co-workers at Automated Insights in Durham. There, they had watched the AI firm grow from 10 people to more than 80, and as its headcount grew, so did its complexity. We saw that as layers of management and departments emerged, gaps in communication happened, Smith says. Wrangell was born as a way to cut through those layers. Then the coronavirus happened, exacerbating the problem the firms were trying to solve. Late last year, the firm came out of beta, seemingly at a perfect time to respond to the new work-from-home trend. But going all in for a startup during a recession wasn't something they'd expected. They still aren't collecting paychecks, instead going all in on the vision. And the big challenge, how to cut through the chaos and reach customers, is a constant focus. But in some ways, the timing has been good, Smith says. We're doing a lot of R&D and product development that you have to do anyway in a shutdown, so it didn't hurt us as much as it could have, Smith says. And there are definitely a large group of companies taking this time to evaluate how they do business. And since virtual meetings are expected, no one blinks when the founders nix their travel budgets and do everything on Zoom. Even so, Wrangle, being a new company, couldn't access some of the resources available to companies, such as Paycheck Protection Program loans. It did, however, get support in the form of an NC Idea grant, an infusion Smith called critical in kicking off 2021. Fintech adds funding. For Rami Asaid, it helped to have a history of successful startups when working to close Finmark's first funder, a $5 million seed round led by Durham's Idea Fund Partners. Asaid got the idea for financial planning software firm Finmark back when he was running Ditil Networks, a cybersecurity company that he sold in 2019 to Imperva. A bad financial model almost killed us, he says. Instead of crunching numbers in Excel, there had to be a better way, he thought at the time. Finmark would be that better way, crafted from a team totally assembled during the pandemic. Asaid admits it has been a challenge. Some who would have been key hires didn't want to leave stable jobs for an unproven startup in the midst of a recession. But Asaid said the pandemic brought in one big advantage when it came to startup capital. Venture capital didn't shut down when the virus spread. Investors still had to put their money to work. They needed to deploy capital, but if they aren't getting out to new founders, they are going to default to people they know and trust, Asaid says, calling the funder the easiest in his entrepreneurship history. And the money will go toward engineering, including new hires in 2021. The technology aims to eliminate the need for complex spreadsheets with what Finmark calls a simple-to-use platform that allows founders to create, update, and share their financial plans. And as startups are the target customer base, Asaid is taking a very real bet that his peers will not only survive but thrive after the pandemic. Thriving in gaming. For a group of Epic Games veterans, a pandemic wasn't enough to quell their idea for a new video game company. Raleigh's Lightforge Games, led by Epic Games veteran Matthew Shimbari, a CEO, has raised $5 million from 10 investors. And like Asaid, Shimbari had a not-so-secret weapon, his resume, which attracted backers to make big bets. Until January of last year, Shimbari was director of user interface at Fortnite developer Epic Games in Cary. There, he led the UI team for Fortnite, the smash hit game with hundreds of millions of users. Shimbari was responsible for front-end systems such as the Battle Pass, Challenges, Store, Social, and Lobby, he said on his LinkedIn page. Prior to that, he served 8 years at Blizzard Entertainment, acting as lead software engineer, UI, and working on games such as Heroes of the Storm and StarCraft II. Shimbari won't say much about his company other than it's developing video games, but to sweeten the pot for risk-averse investors, he's teamed up with other industry names such as Nathan Fairbanks, a former senior producer at Epic Games, Daniel Hertzka, former lead programmer at Epic, Marcus Hutchison, former marketing director at Epic, and Glenn Rain, former principal artist and art director at Blizzard Entertainment. And finally, backfilling food startups. For serial entrepreneur Ryan Betancourt, the pandemic changed everything. It's why he and his wife, Marilis Holm, relocated from the Bay Area to start Sustainable Food Ventures, a micro-venture capital fund with the goal of investing in food startups. He's looking for mission-motivated investors to funnel money on an ongoing basis. The firm made its first investment in November in a firm called Gelatech, a cell-based collagen and gelatin ingredient company. Betancourt, whose dog food startup Wild Earth appeared on the television show Shark Tank, had read about the triangle, but it wasn't until the pandemic struck that he pulled the trigger on a move. The rising COVID cases in California, coupled with the rising costs they had been experiencing for years, had them looking elsewhere for their next venture. "We realized it just didn't make sense to keep building companies in the San Francisco Bay Area," he says. So they looked at a map, considering the triangle along with other locations known for entrepreneurship, such as Austin, Texas, the diversity of the triangle's ecosystem, which includes life sciences, tech, and agricultural technology, was what finalized their decision. Betancourt, who said he's invested in about 120 biotech and future food companies through entities such as IndieBio, decided Durham was where he wanted to continue the work through a startup venture firm. "I have a vision of helping to scale the ecosystem within the South," he says. Holm, a food scientist who worked at Finless Foods in San Francisco, was intrigued by the idea of the triangle and its three universities. And when she saw the green after stepping off the plane, she was hooked. But the fund has a major challenge, the fact that the recession has been distracting to both investors and innovators. Betancourt, however, counters that that's part of the draw. An economic pinch will bring out the problem solvers, he says, and he wants to invest. And now we turn to the continuing series, The Promise Of. The headline, Straightening Out a Business. Doctors Anthony and Siobhan Witherspoon have learned to leverage the pandemic to boost their chiropractic practice. And this story is written by Connie Gentry. About this project, the project name is based on a historical reference relating to Union Army leader William Sherman's promise of giving 40 acres to slaves after the Civil War. That promise, which came to be known as 40 acres and a mule, never came through as President Andrew Johnson rescinded the order after taking office. Pain and perception are two byproducts of the pandemic that have helped create a small uptick in business for Integrate Health and Wellness in Mooresville. The husband and wife, chiropractic doctors who own the practice, say the movement to work from home has shifted the aches and concerns they're seeing from patients. Everything going virtual has impacted the neck and upper back, so we see a lot more people with tech neck and stresses from working on tablets, explains Dr. Siobhan Witherspoon. We saw these problems when we opened our practice, but they're even more prevalent now. The way people think about health and pain is also different after living in the throes of the pandemic. As she explains, people have become more proactive about their health. Her husband and business partner, Dr. Anthony Witherspoon, is seeing a greater awareness of wellness. The focus has shifted. Some people have become wary about going to traditional medical providers because of COVID, and they're seeking out alternatives. In general, people are looking for more wellness, and there's a greater awareness about health. As they seek preventative measures, we're seeing people come in who have never been to a chiropractor, he says. The Witherspoons also offer wellness care, treat personal injuries that may result from car accidents or work-related injuries, provide nutritional counseling, and serve as a resource for health supplements. Pre-COVID, massage therapy was a significant part of their business, but that was discontinued. Throughout 2020, they remained open. We never really closed. Chiropractic services were deemed essential, so we were able to come to the office throughout the pandemic. But we took a hit in the beginning and weren't seeing as many people as before the pandemic started, Siobhan says. However, revenue increased about 30% in 2020 over 2019. In part due to the business partnerships and corporate clients the practice serves. One of their key accounts is with Raleigh-Durham International Airport, where the practice primarily works with employees of the airport. Our initial relationship was to help RDU with their wellness initiative, and we sent our massage staff there 3 times a week before COVID. Now it's morphed into our being available for any wellness coaching, nutritional counseling, and to support the staff so they can take preventative steps to earn discounts on insurance and set wellness goals for the upcoming year, Anthony says. According to RDU, the focus on proactive healthcare dates back more than 10 years. In 2009, the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority implemented a comprehensive wellness program. The program has evolved to include a number of initiatives that range from on-site group exercise and meditation classes to one-on-one health coaching. Its primary contractor that oversees the wellness program is ILWM Wellness of Raleigh. And in 2019, ILWM subcontracted with Integrate Health and Wellness for additional services. In March, the wellness services transitioned from largely face-to-face interactions to remote offerings. Since the pandemic began, they have conducted calls with employees to discuss the employees' health, identify lifestyle changes, and provide assistance as requested, explains an RDU spokesperson. The Witherspoons have also provided chiropractic care to RDU employees at their Mooresville office, offered videos on health-related topics, and helped develop seminars. The airport was ahead of its time in offering wellness care to employees. It helps tremendously with stresses, Siobhan says. The doctors, who have both taught at colleges, have also been able to serve as a reference point to answer patients' questions about the pandemic. Now, we're helping them understand the COVID vaccine and the importance of getting it, Anthony says. Another business they've contracted with is XPO Logistics, working primarily with that company's Mooresville office. That work is focused on services for the truck drivers. We perform their yearly physicals and the drug and alcohol testing that are required for licenses, Siobhan says. we definitely want to take care of our truckers because they were the ones keeping us afloat. Like healthcare services, trucking, and logistics were deemed essential businesses, and that particular industry performed well in 2020. In XPO's most recent financial report, Brad Jacobs, CEO of XPO Logistics, stated, "Our business rebounded dramatically in the third quarter." In the third quarter, XPO's last mile revenue was up 11% year over year, truck brokerage revenue was up 27%, and net revenue per load increased 13%. While the corporate accounts bring stability and extend the services of Integrate Health and Wellness, the typical customer is more often a woman between the ages of 22 and 40. Aesthetic services with laser and liposuction are among the most requested, and demand for those cosmetic enhancements increased across 2020, Anthony notes. We'll be ramping up the aesthetics. Those are the services we are focusing on a little more. The doctors moved from Philadelphia to the Triangle, where Siobhan had attended high school in Durham, and then graduated from Winston-Salem State University. Their most difficult challenges were obtaining financing to start the business, and their application for a PPP loan was denied, but they did secure an EIDL loan, although they declined to say the amount. And the biggest hurdle was finding the right location. With the help of their real estate agent, Stephanie Jackson, they settled on Morrisville. Now the challenge is how to run the practice as an efficient business. I always tell people, in school they teach you to be a great chiropractor, not a great business owner. At first, we didn't have anyone to help us. Then we found a mentor, a chiropractor who has been in business over 20 years, and he's been such a help for us, Siobhan says. Dr. Kenneth Brown of Back to Health Chiropractic in Durham mentors them on the business side of owning our own practice, they say. He helps us see the big picture and holds us accountable. It's hard to hold your husband or wife accountable, Anthony adds. They have a 5-year-old daughter and are mindful of their family time. Once you're a business owner, work doesn't stop, he says. That can become dangerous, so we have to be intentional about how to turn it off and turn it on. And in the Promise of News section, RDU details MWSB spend. In calendar year 2020, the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority spent $8.9 million with minority and women-owned small businesses, MWSBs, which represented 14% of its total spend. Additionally, the authority spent $30 million, or 21%, on construction through the program. The authority sets goals for the participation of minority and women-owned small businesses in all of its contracts, states RDU spokeswoman Stephanie Hawko. The actual goal varies based on the type of contract or service that we're seeking, but it's a percentage of the contract based on the availability of vendors that perform that type of work. The authority also operates the Federal Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program, which applies to federally assisted contracts, and the Airport Concessions Disadvantaged Business Enterprise, ACDBE, which is designed to increase the opportunities for MWSBs to operate as concessionaires in the airport. In 2020, the authority spent $5.3 million, representing 29% of its total spend on concessions with ACDBE businesses. NCHBCU receives $5.5 million gift. NC Agricultural and Technical State University announced January 14 a $5.5 million gift from Corning Incorporated in order to prepare students for careers in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, education. The Corning Incorporated donation kicks off a 5-year partnership with the Greensboro University. It will provide scholarships through 2026 with a special focus on enhancing STEM education, helping students become community classroom teachers, and boosting the number of graduates in other fields critical to the nation's workforce. This important partnership with Corning represents further validation of the incredible opportunities at our university to enhance the face of the American workplace, bringing additional equity to key market sectors, said Chancellor Harold Martin Sr. And now we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Managing Editor Dane Huffman. Wilmington tops National Migration Survey. If you moved to Wilmington in 2020, you weren't the only one. A survey by United Van Lines of America's Migration Pattern ranked Wilmington as the top destination in the country for a percentage of inbound moves. For United Van Lines, 79% of the traffic to Wilmington was inbound, leaving just 21% outbound. The Sarasota, Florida area was second for inbound at 78%, followed by Boise, Idaho, 75%, Huntsville, Alabama, 70%, and Fort Myers, Florida, 69%. Charlotte ranked 13th at 63%, and the Triad was 24th at 57%. The Triangle was not in the top 25. Three markets had outbound percentages of 61%, Buffalo, New York, Monmouth, New Jersey, and Riverside, California. As for states, North Carolina was tied for sixth at inbound traffic at 60%, Idaho led at 70%, and New Jersey was last at 30%. Wilmington officials are optimistic about tourism as the spring and summer approach, despite a softer fall than normal because of the pandemic. It's difficult to forecast what summer 2021 will be like this far in advance. However, barring any unexpected disruptions, we are cautiously optimistic that summer 2021 could be a banner year for tourism as vaccinations become more widely administered and as visitors gain confidence to travel again. In the wake of stay-at-home orders, there's a lot of pent-up travel demand, says Kim Hutham, the president and CEO of the New Hanover County Tourism Development Authority. Solid colors, lighting, key on camera. If you reach 2021 resolve to up your Zoom game, a local woman is here to help. Volanda Calloway, who has anchored shows at CBS 17 and WRAL, noticed during the pandemic that many people had little idea how to best present themselves on video. Her book, Tips from the TV Lady, is designed to help normal people perform better on video. I had no intention of writing a book, but as I watched so many people being interviewed on TV and the web via Zoom, Skype, and WebEx, as well as creatives making YouTube videos, I realized so many people have no idea what to do when going on camera or web camera, she says. She says solid colors such as blue and green are better than patterns, which can blur on video. Lighting is key, and Calloway recommends two lights on each side of you, about a foot above your head. And she adds, everyone should wear makeup, including men. Charlotte Hornets sales take off. Here at Biz, we always loved the classic Charlotte Hornets look that Alexander Julian designed back in the day, so it was a bit of a jolt to see the new Hornets uniforms with their mint green alternative look and Buzz City on the front instead of Charlotte. The Hornets set a record for online sales for a month in both November and December, boosted sales at the arena's team store on non-game days by 54% in December, and had some major surges in sales days before the Christmas holiday. The Hornets aren't the merchandise juggernaut from the days of Muggsy Bogues and Larry Johnson, but they are far better than the awful orange days of the Bobcats. Oh, and rookie LaMelo Ball is really good. That helps, too. BioAgilytics weighs options in Durham. Jim Dayton, CEO of BioAgilytics, says the company continues to explore different locations for our second campus in Durham County. In an email, Dayton says the plan is to make a final selection by the end of the first quarter. The firm has promised to bring nearly 900 jobs to Durham through a headquarters expansion. Students get a taste of industry. Students at Athens Drive Magnet High School got an up-close and virtual look this month at construction and carpentry at the 301 Hillsboro Tower at Raleigh Crossing Tower, being developed by the Fallon Company. Clancy and Thays hosted a virtual construction tour of the site with carpentry instruction led by Carl Robbins. He and his wife Cassie created Kids Learning Carpentry LLC in October 2018. It is hard to teach a class like carpentry and other career technical education classes because these classes are so hands-on, Robin says. Over the past year, we have had to adjust our teaching style during the ongoing pandemic, so we started taking the students on virtual field trips to hardware stores before moving on to work sites. Clancy and Thays was very responsive to this idea. During the tour, students learned about a wide variety of work that goes into a major project. Baker Glasgow, Vice President of Construction at Clancy & Thays, says, our plan is to continue to host more virtual classroom experiences at job sites in the future. 301 Hillsboro will feature 280,000 square feet of office space and be the new headquarters for software company Pendo. And finally, Trump pardons former GOP leader. A former congressman and leader of the North Carolina Republican Party who admitted lying to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, received one of President Donald Trump's final pardons. In August, Robin Hayes was fined $9,500 and sentenced to a year of probation for his role in Greg Lindbergh's scheme to bribe the North Carolina Insurance Commissioner. Hayes is the grandson of the founder of Cannon Mills. And now we turn to the On Technology page, written by Lauren Onasorge. The main headline, investors target innovative startups. Accelerate targets $35 million for second fund in healthcare. A venture firm led by a pair of seasoned Research Triangle Park entrepreneurs is raising tens of millions of dollars to fund digital health startups. And the pandemic will only accelerate the mission, they say. Accelerate Health Ventures has raised nearly $23.3 million of a planned $35 million fund, according to a securities filing. So far, it has assembled 79 investors. It's the second fund for Accelerate, a firm managed by longtime friends and business partners Andrew Schwab and Bobby Bayram. Schwab has the tech know-how. "I know how to use an iPhone better than he does," he says. And Barham has the financial acumen. Together, they've been sourcing digital health deals, even amid the pandemic. "The vision here is creating the nation's premier digital health fund for early-stage companies," Barham says. The second fund, like the first, will deploy capital locally, regionally, and nationally, he says. Schwab expects the pandemic will create early-stage investment opportunities, noting that COVID-19 has actually increased business in the sweet spots Accelerate follows, such as telehealth and the software side of clinical trials. The first fund, at just over $11 million, funneled cash into 11 companies and has seen three exits in Bavarius, CarePort, and NurseGrid. It focused on seed and early stage firms with some demonstrated proof points, and a similar focus is planned for Fund 2. "We do not mind first-time entrepreneurs," Barham says. "We have invested in first-time entrepreneurs, but we surround them with coaches. And warm introductions from mutual contacts catch their attention better than out-of-the-blue emails. The inbox gets full very quickly, so warm introductions are always appreciated," Schwab says. Execs weigh mandating vaccines. As the COVID-19 vaccine rollout expands in the U.S., the question remains, will most employers mandate that workers get the shots? It's a question that will become more prevalent as vaccines become widely available. Here's what two technology executives in the Triangle are saying. Paul Cormier, CEO of Red Hat: "I can't honestly say that that's not something we're planning on doing, but everything is on the table at this point." And also Todd Olson, CEO of Pendo: "It's too early to say. I mean, I don't like the word mandate. It doesn't get a great reaction, but we are a private organization. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it." And in a section called A Big Number, $755 million. That's Delta Airlines' net loss for the fourth quarter, bringing its 2020 losses to nearly $12.4 billion. Even as losses mount at Delta, the Atlanta carrier remains committed to Raleigh-Durham International Airport, its top executive says. And finally, in a section called He Said It, a quote from Zach Medford, who heads up Isaac Hunter's Hospitality, on his concerns about the second round of the Paycheck Protection Program, which opened January 19, he has permanently closed the Coughlin's Bar in downtown Raleigh. "The thing is, it just kicks the can. It takes the place of unemployment. It doesn't take the cost of reopening your bar somewhere else." Next in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the On Real Estate page, written by Caleb Harshberger. Grub plans to go up on Glenwood. Grub ventures to cap Glenwood Place with 12-story development. Raleigh developer Grub Ventures is preparing to submit a rezoning request for the remaining parcels of Glenwood Place to allow for up to 12 stories of mixed-use development. The request would rezone six parcels to either commercial mixed use, up to 12 stories, or five stories, with permitted uses running the gamut from commercial office and retail to residential and open space. The existing zoning allows for office mixed use up to five stories. The parcels make up 13 acres at the northern part of Glenwood Place, which has been underway for the past 17 years. Glenwood Place is located off Glenwood Avenue, just south of the I-440 Beltline. Glenwood Place is a 40-acre mixed-use destination. The complex currently features a collection of office and mixed-use buildings with construction ongoing. Last year, Grub Ventures completed 3800 Glenwood, a 118,000-square-foot building featuring 109,000 square feet of Class A office space and 9,000 square feet of ground floor restaurant space. Grub Ventures has been redeveloping Glenwood Place since 2003, and the proposed rezoning of the remaining 13 acres at Glenwood Place would allow us to create for the community a place combining residential and office uses with neighborhood, retail, community open space, connections to the Raleigh Greenway, and additions to the significant public art collection already established at the property, said Ann Stoddard, Grub Ventures Director of Development, in a statement. Grub held a neighborhood meeting recently to take questions from area residents on their plans to rezone the property. According to filings with the city, potential restaurants and retailers on the site would operate only from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. and will not feature any drive-through windows. In January of last year, Grub Ventures and Accentris Real Estate of Denver announced plans for the latest addition, the residences at Glenwood Place, an upscale 278-unit apartment community with luxury amenities, conference rooms, and around 10,000 square feet of retail space. The master plan for the remaining property will build on the success of these earlier developments, extending the vision of a live-work-play community which integrates exemplary mixed-use architecture connections to the outdoors and public art, Stoddard said. Johnston County gets its first Aldi. German grocery giant Aldi has opened its first location in Johnston County amid the company's ongoing expansion initiative. Aldi opened the new store south of Garner on the Johnston County side on January 21. The store is situated at 5142 NC Highway 42 by a collection of shopping centers just east of an Interstate 40 on-ramp. Florida firm buys Durham apartments. An apartment complex in Durham changed hands recently when a Florida investor bought the property for nearly $60 million. On January 14, Pride Rock Capital Management, based in West Palm Beach, paid $59.5 million for the 350-unit Arium Pinnacle Ridge, or $170,000 a unit. The property is situated on 26.4 acres at 3611 University Drive in Southwest Durham, down the road from a collection of shopping centers that include a Sam's Club and a Target. The seller, an LP addressed to the Carroll Organization of Atlanta, paid $34.4 million for the property in 2015. Durham Industrial Park lands large life sciences leases. A burgeoning Durham Industrial Park near Research Triangle Park has landed two major life sciences leases, making the second phase of the park fully booked as construction is set to begin on the third phase. Strategic Capital Partners LLC of Indianapolis and Westminster Capital LLC have announced they've leased 375,000 square feet to two companies at the Patriot Park development. The companies are Dallas-based Taysha Gene Therapies Incorporated and a second unnamed firm. The leases take up all of buildings 3 and 4 in the park, making up all of Phase 2. The park is situated on over 80 acres at 47 National Way off of Miami Boulevard, just east of RTP. Taysha leased all 187,500 square feet in one of the buildings, with rental rates starting at $104,687.50 per month and gradually increasing to an estimated monthly base rent of $157,261.45, according to financial filings by the company. The lease starts April 1. In December, Taysha unveiled a $75 million capital investment plan for a 200-job manufacturing operation in Durham. The company picked the Triangle over Dallas for the expansion. The gene therapy company's leading candidate treats Tay-Sachs disease, a rare disease that destroys nerve cells in the brain. According to the NC Department of Commerce, the jobs will pay average wages of $119,751. Details were not immediately available about the second tenant for the lease deal. In all, plans for Patriot Park call for a total of five buildings. Phase one was completed last year. In October, New York's Blackstone Group bought the two buildings in phase one for $31.2 million. And finally, we have a big number, $24 million. That's how much a Florida group paid for a collection of automotive retail properties in Durham. Phil Smith Automotive Group of Lighthouse Point, Florida, acquired the site of Mark Jacobson Toyota at the intersection of U.S. 501 and Garrett Road. Jacobson died in August at the age of 73. The properties are situated at 4103 Garrett Road, 4215 Garrett Road, and 4512 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard, just west of the Westgate Shopping Center. And now we turn to A Better World, inside the Triangle's nonprofit scene. And we start with the column written by Lori O'Keefe, who is president and CEO of the Triangle Community Foundation. The headline, New Year Allows for New Thinking on Charitable Giving. At the start of each new year, it is human nature to assess the past and attempt a clean slate moving forward. It is often the time we make resolutions and pledge to try new or different things in the coming 12 months. To that end, I offer you the following ways to think differently about giving back in 2021. Fund an organization's full cost. We know that donors often make gifts to their favorite nonprofits that tug on their heartstrings, for example, a winter coat drive or a monetary donation to provide meals to a family for a week. These are, of course, vital donations, but because sending general operating support gifts is not as exciting and has been unfortunately scrutinized, organizations can lack the resources to cover the full cost of running day-to-day operations, which can ultimately affect their missions. However, institutional funders are building awareness around how funding the full or true costs of nonprofits can positively impact mission delivery and sustainability. While full-cost funding is a concept that has been championed in some philanthropic circles for years, some of our foundation partners are intentionally learning how to put it into practice, says Gladys Hairston, Director of Learning, Research, and Evaluation at the John Rex Endowment. Grantees are participating in these discussions with us so we can learn from them about their non-programmatic needs and build more trusting relationships with them. Ultimately, that trust will become deeper from funder and donor behavior changes that make full-cost funding not just a concept to learn about, but actions we're taking in the form of new funding approaches. Choose to support women. Women have always been at the forefront of social change, and after a challenging year like the one we just had, supporting women through philanthropy will make a real difference in our collective future. As a Forbes article noted, making even a modest financial contribution to a local women's fund or foundation means you're investing in the leadership, resources, and decision-making power of women in your community. There are several women's giving circles playing an active role in the Triangle's philanthropic sector, and most are open to new members. Our giving circle, comprised of African American women based in Durham, affords members the opportunity to engage and support women, children, and community organizations on a very personal level, says Willette Carter, treasurer of the 2020 Sisters of Vision. It's a great sense of accomplishment and personal satisfaction to provide this financial support, and in many cases, this giving is sometimes life-changing for the recipients and often results in a continued relationship. Evaluate corporate investments. The typical corporate investments of the past have become stale and bold. Creative ways to be catalysts for change are becoming the norm. Look to programs such as GSK's Impact Awards and Bank of America's Neighborhood Builders Program to inspire your next wave of giving. The GSK Impact Awards Program honors local nonprofit organizations that make the Triangle region healthier with unrestricted funding that can be used to expand programs or increase organizational capacity, said Becky Lynch, GSK's Director of U.S. Community Partnerships. Now more than ever, we recognize the value that essential service nonprofits provide and their important role in keeping the communities where we live and work safe and healthy. Think about wealth creation. Impact investments are intended to generate measurable social and environmental impact alongside a financial return. Use this knowledge to change how you think about your giving and investments. Consider investing in a local community development financial institution or minority depository institute that allows for wealth growth in communities where it is most needed. We need to recognize the impact that we can make by simply depositing our assets at institutions that are committed to the social and economic causes that we care about, said Louis Pastor, CEO of the Latino Community Credit Union. We can do as much good by making the right deposit at a financial institution aligned with our values as we can do with the charitable money that we decide to donate. The last year caused us to really think about how we lived and worked, and we can use those insights to evolve our giving for greater impact. As with many aspects of our daily lives, I think it's time we all lean into a new normal for giving. And there's also a short news article written by Dane Huffman on this page. Pope Foundation grant supports training for foster parents in Wake County. The John William Pope Foundation awarded a $10,000 grant to help the Boys and Girls Homes of North Carolina provide foster parent training in Wake County. We are truly grateful to receive this grant that will support our foster care program, said B&GH President and CEO Ricky Creech. This grant will support our continued growth in this area, enabling us to provide even more children with an environment of care where health, healing, and hope are experienced every day. These funds will specifically provide facilities in Wake County to conduct initial and recurring foster parent training and certification, along with CPR mannequins and training spaces. Wake County has the second highest number of children in the North Carolina foster care system, said B&GH Chief Program Officer Donna Yalch. This funding will allow us to certify more parents, creating more safe and welcoming homes for children in need of care. While B&GH has been training parents in Wake County for several years, the challenges of the pandemic have complicated the process, officials said, making this grant even more important. And in the nonprofit briefs, funds given to Triangle organizations that support families, the Mary Duke Biddle Foundation, and the Jenny Lillian Sermons Corbachian Trust have partnered to provide $50,000 to five organizations in the Triangle that provide food and other emergency assistance to families that have been severely impacted by the pandemic over the past several months. The grantees are Chatham Solidarity Fund, Chatham Outreach Alliance, Interfaith Council for Social Service of Orange County, Trinity Avenue Presbyterian Church, Walltown Neighborhood Ministries, Iglesia Emmanuel, and Urban Ministries, all in Durham County. The grants are unrestricted support to assist these community-based organizations that work directly with people and allow these nonprofits to tailor support as needed. While the foundation typically makes grants to support K-12 education and arts organizations in the Triangle, we know that many people and families in our communities are hurting, and we knew we needed to help. The trust joined us in this effort, doubling the amount of funding, said MDBF Executive Director Mimi O'Brien. In 2020, the JLSKT donated $110,000 and the Biddle Foundation $200,000 to provide operating support to area nonprofits to assist them during the pandemic. And finally, Hardee's franchise backs military families. Local Hardee's restaurants and their customers are supporting military families and veterans with an $84,029 donation to the North Carolina-based Patriot Foundation. The donation from Hardee's franchise operator Bodie Noel Enterprises supports the all-volunteer nonprofit that provides support to military families who have a soldier that has been wounded, injured, or killed fighting the global war on terror. Bodie Noel's Hardee's customers provided financial support through the recent Roundup campaign, in which customers rounded up their transactions to the next even dollar amount, with the extra proceeds going to the charity. Bodie Noel's restaurants are located throughout North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, and Kentucky. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. The headline, Big Business, Here's a Noble Opportunity to Help. By last June, more than 120,000 businesses across the U.S. had permanently closed because of the pandemic. During the same time, innovation did not rest, as many workers who left or were laid off from their jobs started their own companies. But if you thought wide-scale vaccinations will be the absolute end to the negative effect of the coronavirus on our economy, a recent National Bureau of Economic Research study should put that optimism to bed. Researchers from Harvard, Johns Hopkins, and Duke universities concluded that 890,000 additional deaths may result in the next 15 years because of actions taken to mitigate the virus. Our results suggest that the toll of the lives claimed by the SARS-CoV-2 virus far exceeds those immediately related to the acute COVID-19 critical illness, and that the recession caused by the pandemic can jeopardize population health for the next two decades, the researcher said. Basically, the researchers are saying the effect of the lockdowns and restrictions will have an impact for more than a decade. But there is a way to soften that disaster, and unwavering commitment from big businesses to help its smaller counterparts. By the end of last June, market analysts were forecasting a 25% drop in third quarter profits of companies listed under the S&P 500 index. But when the actuals came in, profits had dropped a mere 6%. Small businesses were not so lucky. Beyond the more than 100,000 closures, hundreds of thousands more are currently wondering if they can survive past the first quarter. Yes, the government has opened up the Paycheck Protection Program and made available an additional $285 billion, but that money will soon be exhausted, and unless there's a spike in economic activity soon, the business-to-consumer entities will be the first to close shop, followed by business-to-business entities filing Chapter 11 and halting their debt payments. For corporations, there's no shortage of capital right now. Data firm Refinitiv estimates investors poured in a staggering $11 trillion to work in 2020, about half of it in corporate debt because money was so cheap. Small businesses don't have access to that money. Many corporate executives, such as Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase and Brian Moynihan of Bank of America, have acted fast to do their parts by intentionally pushing contracts directed specifically toward black businesses and promoting the need for corporate America to mitigate economic inequality in their communities. But we need more. We need big businesses to step up and intentionally help as many small businesses as they can in their communities. We need the C-suites to direct their managers under them to take an extra step in identifying businesses in their communities and forward them contracts, even if it is slightly more expensive than buying from giant box stores and their Fortune 500 counterparts. Our small businesses do not have access to do deals at the country club over golf or dinner, but they are willing to work hard and they will move mountains to keep their big clients happy. Our previous four generations did not experience this economic hit. Yes, we have had recessions, and yes, the last one was bad, but most of them did not last beyond 3 years. This is different. If big and small businesses do not find a common economic goal, let's not forget when it comes time to bail out the big corporations with taxpayer money, the millions of small businesses will be there to raise their hands and object. There is no better time than now to show American exceptionalism. And now we turn to the general news. Another tower will rise along Glenwood South. Heritage Properties gets approval for 18-story building. This article is written by Caleb Harshberger. The latest building as part of a development in Glenwood South took a big step forward January 19 when the Raleigh City Council approved a rezoning to allow for the development of an 18-story mixed-use tower. The council voted unanimously to approve the rezoning for Maryland developer Heritage Properties Tower for Phase 3 of its Block 83 project, calling for 18 stories of office and structured parking over ground-level retail. The building is set for a pair of properties at 615 West Morgan Street and 117 South Boylan Avenue, currently owned by Crocker Family Properties, LLC, and Betty Poole Brinkley. Heritage filed the rezoning request in June. It allows for up to 277 residential units, 221,000 square feet of office space, and 21,000 square feet of retail. The company's plans for the tower call for around 6 stories of structured parking, with 11 stories of office above the parking. Conditions included in the rezoning limit the height to 18 stories and ensure additional screening for the exterior of the parking structure, among others. Both properties were previously zoned for just 7 stories of mixed use and sit adjacent to existing Block 83 properties, Glenwood 1 and Tower 2. The Crocker family has owned the land on Morgan Street since 1966, according to county records, and currently the site has a pair of single-story retail properties, including Calavera Taqueria, at the corner of West Morgan Street and South Boylan Avenue. Brinkley took ownership of the property at 117 South Boylan Avenue in 1996 from James Poole at no charge, according to county records. The Poole family has owned the property since 1951. It is currently vacant. Across Morgan Street, construction is ongoing on Tower 2, the $108 million sister tower to One Glenwood. Plans for Tower 2 call for a 10-story Class A office building totaling 271,500 square feet with 30,000 square feet of retail and a 665-space parking garage. The Block 83 project is just one of a number of developments in the works in or near Glenwood South. Bank of America earnings to improve in 2021, execs say. This article is written by Ashley Fahey. The pandemic continues to create challenges for Bank of America Corporation, although company leaders are feeling confident moving into 2021. Charlotte-based Bank of America was one of multiple banks to release reserves in the fourth quarter, an $828 million release, making $53 million in credit loss provisions. Net charge-offs were down by $100 million compared to both the third quarter and the fourth quarter of 2019. Paul D'Onofrio, chief financial officer, said BFA is expecting an increase in net charge-offs in the first quarter, with cards as the primary driver in consumer losses. He said the bank has seen an increase in 90-plus day delinquencies as deferrals from earlier in 2020 expire. Delinquent balances are charged off after 6 months. He noted, however, that charge-offs before that 90-day category have come down and are lower than they were a year ago. Levels for the 30-day category, for example, are down year over year. I think this reflects the health of the consumer, improvement in the economy, government stimulus. So beyond Q1, while the environment certainly remains uncertain, we now think it's more likely that card losses will decline modestly in Q2. D'Onofrio said on a media call he expects charge-offs to stay at second quarter levels throughout the rest of 2021. Analyst Betsy Grasek noted the significance of this on B of A's investor call, considering a national unemployment rate at 6.7%. CEO Brian Moynihan said the unemployment rate among the bank's customers is lower than the national level. B of A said it processed roughly 2 million payment deferrals in 2020. About 77,000 were still in effect as of December 31. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Anger. They can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as the person it represents. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.